Hey, what's good, everyone? It is Samir from Beat Fino Podcasts. Hope you're all well. Just taking this quick time to make a little shout out to our sponsors. Definitely recommend this one. Check it out. This podcast is sponsored by the Music Producers Guild of New Zealand, Aotearoa. The Music Producers Guild is an advisory service that assists and empowers our music producer industry here in New Zealand. Members get personalized contracts for their music production, free Serato Studio Sample and DJ Pro, access to discounted audio equipment and software, and advice from industry professionals. Buy your plugins through the Music Producers Guild website to help support us all in growing our community. For more information and to sign up as a member, please visit www.mpgnz.co.nz. Huge shout out to the Music Producers Guild of New Zealand for sponsoring Beat Fino. Super stoked to be able to share such a positive driving force for New Zealand music on the world stage. Please check them out. Super stoked to be in the guild myself. And I know for a lot of you guys wanting to take their music to the next level, super honored to have this opportunity to be around the industry professionals and soak up all the benefits. Back to here to the podcast. Thank you so much all for hanging in and enjoying this testimony so far. Feel free to pop a little message in to our page. Let us know how you've enjoyed this podcast. And stay tuned for more Beat Fino episodes. But here, back to the podcast. Here on Beat Fino Podcasts. Yo, welcome everyone to Beat Fino Podcasts. And this week we have Tommy Too. What's good, my bro?
Yo, it's good. It's good to be here, man.
Super good. Oh, man, I'm just super... It was like perfect timing tonight, wasn't it? You know, it was just kind of like, why not, you know?
Yeah, it's perfect timing at its finest, man. Hell yeah. It's good to catch up with you.
Oh, man. And so kick things off. How's things been, my bro?
Yeah, good, man. Just like been getting busy. Just every day with this music stuff, as much as I can, you know? Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, oh, we're going to get into that, my bro, because
there's a yeah. For those that and you know, cooking, yeah. Living good, you got to look after yourself, you know?
Yes, bro, yes. Yeah. Oh, this is part of our music community. And now I just, for everyone listening out there, my bro, tell us a bit about how you got into music and like first memories of it all, my bro.
My first memories are probably getting my parents to force me to play guitar when I was like 6 years old as a kid. Wow. And I played for like a few years and then gave it up. And then I went to piano because they forced me to play piano a few years later. But I liked piano. That was good. Yeah. That's kind of how it started, really. Yeah. When I look back at things that I'm inspired on now, it's probably that, you know. Musically wise, at least, you know.
Yes, bro. And I'm really keen to hear like some of the earliest music you remember listening to, bro, because it's always interesting, yeah, like different peeps say. So what was happening around when you were growing up, man? What was playing?
Well, I had like hella cool parents, so they had a restaurant, so they always had to play all the cool music, you know. So I had my mom's favorite artist was Eminem, funnily enough. She's damn near 60 years old now, you know. She was like, yeah, she was getting into it in late 30s, you know. So yeah, probably like a lot of that, like Limp Bizkit, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Sublime, all that, you know. Yeah, just good music, you know.
Oh wow, that's epic, man. And speaking of sort of the upbringing, my bro, tell us a bit about your upbringing, like where you're from, sort of if you moved around and
I'm privileged to grow up in I say that in England. I don't really like the place, but I mean, I got to live there when I was a kid. I grew up there till I was like 8 years old and then went to Florida and Orlando and lived there till I was like 15 and then ended up in New Zealand after that. So now I've been here ever since. I'm like 27 now, so yeah. Been here a while, from 15, you know?
Yeah, so you've literally been now over holiday overseas trips, just bam, 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 right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, I've seen a good portion of the world already. It's good. Yeah, I've enjoyed it. For sure.
That's amazing. It's kind of cool because you sort of moved at all the different places at those sort of prime ages, eh? You know, you sort of kid.
Yeah. It's opened my eyes to a lot of things in the world for sure, definitely.
Oh, that's amazing. So, yeah. I mean, do you have any kind of interesting memories from, was it London? What was the other place? Florida? Was it? Or
no? Yeah, Florida. I grew up in Portsmouth in England, so that's down south. Not this kind of, it's a bit crummy, you know, it's not that nice. That's why I don't really talk highly of it. Yeah, I definitely enjoyed Orlando. That was where a lot of my like independent musical kind of stuff happened there, because I grew up there, you know. It's like going to high school and stuff, you know, finding what I like and enjoy in life.
Yeah.
And I kind of got into like death metal and stuff there. That's why I stopped piano, funnily enough. But that energy for that kind of music drove me, you know, like I wanted to do music after that. Yeah. Playing in bands, doing shows as like a 15-year-old is like I was 14 to 13, you know, being led into clubs doing like death metal vocals. It's a pretty humbling experience when I was a kid, I guess.
Yeah.
Not that I knew that back then, you know, I was just swamped in energy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a rite of passage as a kid, eh? Like doing the old bands and getting
in. Yeah, definitely. Eh? It's fun, eh? I recommend it.
Yeah, that's it. I'm getting into it while I still can, and because I mean I wasn't into music growing up, since the actual like band and activity stuff, but I remember just doing a bit of piano lessons when I was in primary, and that was bam, video games, TV, and then I only just got back into music through on like the radio mix shows with like all the DJ mixes late at night.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
it's funny that though you never really lose sight of or the aspect of music and stuff, like being able to play it. It's always there for you.
It's a universal voice. So no, that's so cool, bro. Moving on then to how you got into beat making and sort of evolving from growing up with music as a kid or teenage. What was the sort of like things that first drew you into producing? Like, was it some cool artists or was it like,
it was definitely, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Were you about to say something else? Or
say like even sort of moving into the music software and all that and getting a hand of that.
Yeah, definitely. Like my kind of gateway into that, I guess, would be just when I moved to New Zealand. I didn't really have any bands to play in, so I was just listening to heaps of hip-hop music, and I just started rapping basically. But I'm a skinny ass white dude, you know me, I'm not really trying to make a rap career out of this. So I was hanging out with a lot of older dudes that kind of put me on game with like MPCs and stuff like that and cutting up records. So I kind of learned off of that and then bought my own MPC. I had like a 2000 XL. Used to like cut records up on that, and that shit was hella fun, but it's not really that productive anymore because you're gonna get lapped really quickly if you want to be producing efficiently, I suppose, you know. But it's fun, it's definitely fun, and that kind of, I guess, like led me to, I think I did that for maybe a year and a half or two, and then led me to get an FL Studio and doing the whole digital side of music, eh? And then never stopped since then, eh? So I probably started producing when I was damn near like maybe 19 or 20 on the MPC. Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool, because I've never got to jam an MPC, but I'd love to one day purely to see.
They're fun, man. You know, they're super fun, though. Especially when you get a good sample and you can chop it up on all the little pads and stuff and make your own individual chops and go in and stuff and cut them up. You come up with a lot of quite creative stuff that I suppose you wouldn't necessarily come up with digital music, because everything's there at your disposal with digital music. Whereas MPCs, you got to kind of work your magic a little bit with the chopping it up, filtering things out with what you have kind of thing. So
cool. At the time, did you teach yourself, or was there people around to sort of help you get into like fruity?
Yeah, no, I've always been like surrounded or tried to surround myself with like-minded people or people that are like better than me, you know, like give me some knowledge to fall back on, you know. But definitely like the digital side, a lot of like YouTube tutorials and stuff like that. But with the MPC stuff, I had the homies there to like show me the ropes and stuff and cut records up. That's just fun.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. So for the most part, you've been in Wellies, were you in Auckland for a bit, or am I thinking of someone else?
Oh yeah, no, I kind of when I moved to New Zealand, I was in Nelson, so I was in Nelson for damn near 6 years, probably from when I was 15 to 21.
Nice.
Yeah. So those few years that I was producing there, I was, yeah, that's when I kind of got started. It was in Nelson, of all places. Managed to find some cool people that I could link with. So, yeah, it was dope. I'm grateful. Nelson. And then Wellington, of course. Yeah. And then, yeah, just been in there for the last few years.
Yeah. Wow, epic.
Oh, sorry, my phone's dying about that. There we go.
Yeah, that's like a nice mix of New Zealand. Have you ever been to the South Island, like, properly around it, or just kind of?
I've been a bit to like Christchurch. That's where I met like one of my close homies who engineers, and I've kind of been buddies with him since I started the music thing, which is kind of cool. So we kind of went from the South Island up to the North now we just here. This is a home base for us. So.
Yeah. Oh, solid. So you're speaking about like sort of the people you meet along the way. Is there sort of names that you sort of remember or like, because there's kind of, it's funny, there's like posies, and then there's also like kind of people on their own, and then there's like
artists,
like waves of sort of people who kind of just even more kind of focusing on like a genre. There's so much stuff, so like, yeah, is there anyone that kind of comes to mind as you're kind of growing up?
Yeah, I guess when I was like growing up, I mean
yeah, because I couldn't help but have a quick stalk on the Facebook. You would have met a few cool peeps in Wellies, eh, bro? Like, I was just thinking, like, the...
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to get all the names straight in my head, eh? I mean, my day ones and stuff would be Ivy Trav and stuff. He's, like, an engineer from Christchurch. Wow. And he moved up to Wellington and got me my first flat there and got me kind of involved in everything. And then, of course, I had LMC and Nelson, who's the man as well. I mean, he's doing big things now. Yeah, so he's from Nelson, so me and him were just linking like crazy back then, you know? And yeah, we still go back and forth and stuff. It's cool, man. Who else? I mean, there's so many people. When I moved to Wellington, there's so many like independent kind of artists doing their thing there. Not a lot of them are around anymore, but it was always kind of popping there. Like Paso Embassy are cool, Rush Gang and stuff. Yeah, there's heaps of people, eh? Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah,
I definitely love like the Omnipotent boys in Auckland.
Yes. I've
been kicking it with them. They're cool. Those are my boys.
Yes.
I'm fun hard to think, eh? But I mean, everyone in New Zealand doing their thing. I love it, eh? It's crazy. I mean, like,
exactly.
For how small of a country it is, we move in like a colony of ants, man. We're going crazy, man. I'm telling you.
You look at their SoundCloud, man. That's community of SoundCloud.
We some red ants, man. We're going to sting this industry, bro. We're going to burn it up, bro. I'm telling you.
you can't deny the amount of things of like testimony that have come from Kiwis on SoundCloud alone, man. Like, I think that was really weird. A lot of people got noticed, but it was like a MySpace. But was MySpace around when, would that be around your era? Because
I did that with like the death metal bands and stuff, but for the hip hop stuff, it was SoundCloud. Like I used to do the SoundCloud stuff production wise, but just like instrumental beats and stuff like that for a few years, though. That was pretty cool. I don't really do it no more, though. I probably should.
Yeah.
SoundCloud account just going dead and just hiatus, so
almost marketplace now. You're like, oh yeah, it's SoundCloud. Yeah, it's kind of like it's more like become a DJ's playground as well, eh? Like
the whole thing. I feel that definitely. Yeah, some people are still killing it though. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I feel like I should have monetized it maybe a couple years ago, to be honest, though, because still get quite a few plays. Don't mean nothing now.
Well, it's speaking of that, man, it's. And for people who don't really know what you do, I mean, obviously you make beats, but share a bit of testimony about sort of what you've been able to sort of do these days. Because for those that don't know, you're not so much just the guy making your own music. You're actually getting to make music with and collaborating and working, making music for other people. So sort of share us a bit of it.
Yeah.
How it's been, though.
Yeah, basically just been like the last few years, I've been like grinding the hardest I have in my career, basically, you know, just trying to get my own sound, you know, just to compete with the YouTube market of like, a lot of people think it's corny with the type beats and stuff, but it's all marketing and business, and it's how you get a bag as a producer up and coming, you know, and we all want a bag, don't we? So I'm trying to do that, you know.
Well, you make, you know, you gotta enjoy it, you gotta enjoy enough to
yeah
and put some clothes on the next week, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, man, money is nice, man. It's what makes the world go around, besides the energy and love we've got, you know. Shit, I need it all. Yeah, so I just basically have been doing that the past like year and a half, kind of professionally, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, and just kind of paying my bills with that and making sure I'm uploading beats every single week and getting every rapper's emails, because they post them all on Instagram. They've got managers that have them if they don't. There are ways to connect with people that you, if you're on like a smaller level of thinking at that stage in your life, it's possible, yo. Just send the emails out if you got talent, because they're gonna hit you back. Everyone want to work, everyone want to be the next big thing or be on the next big thing, you know. So that's just kind of how I did it, and that's how I think now, you know. I don't really doubt myself anymore. I'm affirmative with my actions, and I send out beats to rappers who I think are gonna rap on them. I don't just send them random beats. I make beats for select rappers who I want to work with, and it's been working, man. The formula's working. Yeah,
it's such a great approach. Especially, I mean, were you sort of beginning production, making music, like for yourself as well, or the, because of it's sort of a great way to sort of pick up the ropes, or was this sort of a feeling like, wow, like I can actually work with people like right from that beginning, like what was sort of the...
Oh, definitely not. I mean, yeah, the last couple of years I've gotten confidence, I guess, in my feet. Yeah. Now, you know, I'm kind of up a little bit, but for years I guess I just never really thought those things were really possible without like a manager or someone to like guide you a bit, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, because,
but the more I focus less on that and the more I focus just on my craft and what I have to give right now, the more things just got better for me, I guess, with like getting back from my production and stuff. And like, you know, it's nice getting like money and stuff for beats, you know, when people want to buy beats off you, it's the one of the greatest feelings, you know, because that's your business, that's your work, you know. It's cool.
Enjoy it. That's it, man. It's really cool to hear how many people now in New Zealand are doing it, and it's
yeah. Really? There's so many young people out there. I know a lot of young cats say, like, I think J. Cool with it, KDO The Plug. I got my boy King Rumble in Wellington. The other two guys are in Auckland. Lots of young and up-and-coming Auckland producers that are just, like, so talented. Like, on my level, if not higher than my level, talent-wise, you know? And these kids are, like, 18, 17, you know? And, like, yeah. Everyone's gonna be up soon, man. We got a lot of talented people out here. Yeah, it's cool.
You mentioned all those kids who love getting like the young peeps as well, just to feel like they can embrace the sort of lineage that has gone before them and just feel like driven, you know, like pushed and supported, you know. So it's so cool that you kind of
definitely, bro.
And I'm really excited to get more of them on, but yeah, as we sort of move on into the realm of cool places and things you got to do, one thing I happen to notice is at one point I think you had a little gig at, I mean, you've had some cool gigs. You were here in Palmy as well.
Yeah
I saw you had a little gig at R&B as well, like a few years back. I was like, I was so surprised by just like how many, from, because even like kids like Roy that I was growing up with on that poster, it was like there were a couple years where it was very, very kind of the upground rising sort of moment of
definitely, yeah. I feel like that was definitely a big like era in the bass music scene and stuff here, where all of us were kind of coming up and stuff. And yeah, not so much myself, but I mean all these guys were going crazy, like, yeah, the Noble Twins, LMC, Raka, Omnipotent, what's his name, Man, I'm forgetting a few people now, eh? But the whole slow wave kind of movement, yeah, that was cool. It was cool. I loved being a part of that and stuff. Yeah. I used to do like a bit of DJing and stuff with that. That's how I got to be a part of those shows. But I don't know, it's not really my forte. Yeah. I still enjoy doing it here and there, though, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. I think, yeah, it's when you kind of pack playing the tunes and just, you know, kind of being able to be part of it. And in the energy field, I think it was so cool. I was hitting Palmy, just like the whole come together vibe of.
Yeah, no, that was super fun with them. We did that with like Little Dust,
yeah,
and Stoner Smurf and Locate and all those boys there. Shout out those dudes, they're cool.
And shout out to Mike, was the bro, Mikey Jane Fielding, for saving us the last bit of speakers there, because yeah, that was a funny one, man. That was one of those ones.
Yeah, that was the first night I met you as well. That was crazy. Yeah. We had the mad sound technical difficulties at our hands, eh?
Noise and
we good. Sussed it though.
Yeah,
it was good.
I was really, really like proud to actually like facilitate so much of the behind the scenes, because I realized how what turned out to be really like a kind of ground up thing with the bro from Herman from Skip the Boat.
Yeah, like, we had Herman there as well. Herman the artist and Herman from Skip the Boat.
We
had two Hermans.
Yeah, that's the funniest part. But there's some really cool testimony from the sort of people that came and the people we all got to meet. And I think the best part was actually, that was like the before and after, where you really just get to do life, eh? Like just we got
just hang out with everyone, eh? Yeah. It's cool though. I love those vibes,
because I can just imagine you've had quite a bit of it, and it's like it's something you'll always cherish when you get older, you know. Just
definitely. Well, I used to get into a lot of like I did maybe like 4 or 5 shows, I think, I put on here.
Yeah.
I did a few in Wellington, and then I did a few in Auckland that I set up under my own promotional company. It's like Tommy 2 Presents. So I was like booking artists, not playing myself, just booking all the artists and making big shows happen and stuff.
Wow.
It was real cool, eh? It was awesome. I had a lot of good friends that would just kind of come out, and we would like, yeah, we'll get together. We'd have like damn near 30 of us, you know. I had the Kome squad with like Jace, JSE, Humble Boys, Spide, all those boys, eh? It was crazy, yeah.
Yeah, man. Now I started digging some amazing sort of like names that you sort of, you know, you just remember. It's like, man, there's a lot of people, man. That's right.
Yeah, I know.
Spot where I'm like, tell us about some cool people. It's like, nah, it's a hard
years one. Have gone into this, eh? Years. We're trying to make the scene boom out in New Zealand so everyone can get amongst it, you know? That's always the goal.
Yeah.
But I feel like how the scene's going now, if that job was needed, we'd done it. So, because it's booming now. There's so many talented people out there. It's crazy. I've got too many people to network with now. It's like, I can't, you know?
Wow.
I love working with like-minded people out here for sure. And always try and give people a platform or like want to work, team up, do something, you know, build. Let's all build together.
That's a win-win, eh?
Let's get these checks together. Let's do it.
See, it's a win-win, bro. You've said it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's something I think in New Zealand, when we forget, and then we have to remind ourselves, and we'll do it as much as we need, but this stuff really is win-win, eh, bro? Like, it's not
definitely
feel, oh, okay. You know,
if you can, if you're not like as good as your next homie up, you got to brush shoulders with everyone and level up together, you know, let them help you level up and stuff, you know.
That's a gem, bro, because we talk on the podcast about gems, that the gem is actually, you know, when you're super hungry and you put those peeps you look up to on the spot, and it's like it's a Kiwi thing to help each other, bro, and it's
yeah,
continue to do. As long as Bifon is around to champion this, is to you know, just know yourself enough to know your passion. I think you know how hungry you are. You don't have to like try and fake like you deny it. You know, you have to just do it. You know, and
exactly.
Really,
and like, put yourself out there, you know? Yeah, like, it's, we're not in LA, you know? We all gotta get out there and work close, you know, and build these big platforms for one another, you know? And like, help each other get plates, man, get checks, man, you know? I feel there's a little bit of a stigma with a lot of like the younger generation even not wanting to ask for that help or something. They think they could do it all themselves, or like they could record, they could make the beats, they could do the artwork, they could do that. Like, ask for a helping hand once in a while is fine. Like, it's good to do that, or invest in yourself, put some money up if you really got your talent straight and you think you're good, you know?
It's so true, bro. Oh man, it's one of the things I only started doing probably this time last year, and there's no need to sort of abbreviate, but you know, like it's just cool to kind of invest in yourself and to see, like, even if you just put 10% of what you would usually just put out to others, invest in yourself, and it can be very powerful, especially if you're...
It definitely can.
Probably a lot of people listening, you know, the sort of people that tend to listen to our podcast, my bro, are very giving people. Because they're sort of, it's sort of been a natural sort of energy magnetic field of people really kind of minded to actually hear some cool journey and bring in testimony and the people have had, but just to hear your journey as well there, bro, and the gems. But yeah, sort of as we get to the end, bro, sort of as we kind of look into what we've all talked about there, and the people, the places, and all that, what's some sort of things you see in the future, my bro, like in whether your music or your sort of just goals in life and dreams and all that, like if you have any sort of things that you can kind of share that's coming up, my bro.
I got lots of big tracks coming out this year, lots of placements and stuff for sure. So that's gonna be crazy. I'm stoked to show all the music to the world, you know. I'm lots of from LA and the Bay, you know, mostly. But I'm gonna be working with a lot of New Zealand producers on other records and stuff, so I'm super excited for that, you know. Yeah, just keep selling beats, doing my thing. But besides that, man, I'm really just trying to find other little lanes of finance to get into, you know, and invest the music money in other lanes in life, and you know, hopefully have a couple businesses, have the music going, you know. That's the one, you know. Have the stocks going, something like that.
Good, eh? That's probably the biggest key, eh, is to
I feel like with just the music, it's hard to just do the music, you know. But I feel like you don't have to be on a major label. You don't have to be like the biggest artist in the world ever, or even have that mindset to be paid off music and do what you love, as long as you make the correct investments in life. Okay. Or take the correct path, talk to the right people, you know, put yourself out there. That's what I'm really focused on, you know. I'm not really too stitched up about just doing music, you know. I want to enjoy life and explore everything else, you know. So, for sure.
It's something for Total Capro is actually the, like you said, the enjoying life and for all it has, and sort of seeing
how... Of course. Life is precious.
Oh, bro, it's powerful, because I think it's for Beat Final itself, it's like I actually really feel what we get from each other's testimonies and experiences is sort of like a personal development in ourselves. Yeah, like we can take,
of course, I feel like music is quite a hard driven thing to do mentally, you know, if you really want to do this, you know. It's a challenging mental game. I feel like a lot of young cats out there may struggle with that, you know, but you just got to keep pressing on, doing your thing, and enjoy life, most of all.
Real important, man.
But keep grinding and working, man. You got to grind and make yourself, like, absolutely depressed, but then you get over it. It just makes you stronger, you know what I mean?
Not hard. It's quite interesting, like, the more you get to know yourself, the more you just find that natural balance where you don't have to try it.
Course, everything kind of simmers out a little and you can see a bit more clear and then give yourself more opportunity. And then boom, and then make yourself crazy again. Do it all over again. It's fun, man.
It's exciting. We spoke even just before the call about the sort of cool little, you know, how you get more into like the studio sessions too and all that, bro. So it's really exciting to hear just the sort of testimony unfold, bro. So like I know there's so many years that are really starting to pay off, especially coming from sort of the beat making side of getting placements and all that, bro. So
Definitely it takes a few years kind of. If you're super talented though, these young cats, man, go get it, you can get a placement in a few months probably. It's crazy. I feel like your ears when you're younger, you know, those predominantly your kind of most creative years, I suppose, but that's not a given for everyone. I'm probably the most creative I've been in my life. I just didn't do it when I was yet that young. I wasn't that committed, I guess.
Exactly, right. But yeah, that's awesome, because I think again, it's sometimes playing their long game is something you have to invest in. I think it's really cool to hear on their sort of journey where things that are coming from like years ago, bro, they still pay out, bro. That's probably one of the best things about sort of being able to have a marketplace online, bro, for people tuning in. I guess there's one thing we can really share is that you know, a beat can be sold multiple times. It doesn't have to, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Just building that ammunition up, you know, and then just dropping a series of beats over the few years, man. Like, you can just sell those as much as you want, you know. Exactly. Yeah. If they're doing good, you just got to have good YouTube videos, good promotion, good Instagram, you know, be consistent.
Yeah.
It's easy, that, for sure.
Wow. Well, man, I think there's a few gems in here, even for me. I'm getting more.
I appreciate you, man.
As you noticed, I'm being, you might have popped over and saw the music video, but I'm very new to video, and it's so cool to finally see how a lot of people, I think I've said it before on the show, a lot of people actually listen with their eyes, as we know. And it's about sort of just understanding you will have to play the game, but you can flip the script. So it's about sort of those little things, like you said, and being able to market yourself. And
definitely
you're a true testament.
It's a big portion with the whole music game, I find. I tell a lot of people that the whole music thing, I want to say, is like 30% of it. When you want to get into the business of selling music, when you got your product, that's damn near 30% of it then. But that's 100% of your passion. That's there. That's what you worked for. And then you got like damn near like what, 30% is on networking, the other 40% is on marketing, 10% is on whatever, you know what I mean? It's all, the music kind of becomes a little bit backseat almost when you really want to just start pushing your shit out, but it doesn't, in the sense, you know, you just got to juggle it all.
That's I think a really timely message. I think we've covered some massive ground tonight, my bro, and I just wanted to thank you again for sharing a little bit of your testimony. As you know, it's a bit of a Joe Rogan, so I'm sure we'll have you back again soon. But
yeah, man, I loved this. Sorry, I just had to take my headphones out before, but I was charging my phone and stuff. But it's been a blast, man. I love talking to you, man. Appreciate you, dog.
Love it too, bro. And we can definitely stay posted. For as you all know, we can find you on most platforms. So Tommy Two on sort of your beats
my main kind of way you can contact me will be on Instagram, which is Tommy Got Beats, all one word, Tommy Got Beats. That's the one. I gotta repeat it, you know. And then besides that is Tommy, and then Tommy Two on YouTube, which is like Tommy space two eyes.
Yeah.
And you can get all the beats on there. I got links to my web store and stuff. Anyone listening or whatever, if you want to work in New Zealand, you want some insider work, you just hit me up. It's all good, man. I'll throw you some games, throw you some beats, whatever you need. Yo, it's cool.
Hi, brother. No, we've known you to be there, man. So, we just continue that legacy here on BeFino. You've been tuned in to our podcast, BeFino. We are on episode 41. We've had Tommy Two. And for all you tuned in, we really appreciate your love and support. So please continue to help us spread this testimony. As you've got the bros plugs, also feel free to support this by sharing this episode and our Patreon if you wish to donate and keep us running. But without further ado, this has been BeFino Podcast. Peace and love, Fino.